I'm going to start off this morning to tell you I've got a confession. I'm not going to give you all my confessions. There's plenty of them, but I got one in particular I want to share with you this morning, and that is I like to figure out things on my own. I mean, I think it's kind of a male thing. When I get something new or want to put together or something that I have to learn how to use, I don't like to read the directions. I like to try to do it on my own. I don't know. They're not directions anyway. They're called suggestions. So anyway, so how does that relate? Well, it's simple. Living life without knowing Scripture, without reading God's Word, is like trying to go through life without reading the manufacturer's instructions, without reading his directions. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he was a young pastor in Ephesus. And a lot of the Bible we had today hadn't been published. We don't know how. We know he had the Old Testament scriptures, but we don't know what he knew about the New Testament. We don't know what had been passed along by that point. We don't know how many of Paul's letters may have been circulated through the group. So Timothy was he had to know what had been taught him by his aunt, by his mother and his grandmother. And they didn't have movable type back then, so they did, only people who had access to actual scriptures themselves were generally the priests and the rabbis. Common people didn't have that. It was oral tradition. So how fortunate are we today that we've got the written word of God? It's a blessing that we should not ever take for granted. It's a wonderful advantage. The Bible is probably the most, and I think it has been for a long time, and probably still is, the most published book in the world. There are more copies of the Bible published every year than any other book ever. But just having a Bible isn't enough. I mean, it's not a good luck charm. It's something you have to, it's not something you dust off when you hear Robert's coming to visit. But I can tell you that things you see and hear today, I think it may be the most unread and certainly one of the most misunderstood books or books. It's a collection of books or books ever written. Owning a Bible does not bring you salvation. So let's look at today's text. So I'll have to read it because we can't call it up. And I want to back up a little bit in that text. Because again, Paul's writing to this young pastor in Ephesus, at the church at Ephesus. And I'm going to start in verse 14. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, the background of this is Timothy was in Ephesus, and, oh, it does come up. Thank you. Great. So, Timothy is in Ephesus as a young preacher, and as happens in churches, some errancy has come into the church. There are people who are preaching the gospel for personal gain, for riches, pleasure, self-promotion. It had kind of gotten off track. Paul said they become proud and arrogant. So Paul challenges Timothy to remember what he has learned from his mother and his grandmother. And as a side right here, I brought this up in Sunday school. I don't understand how some denominations say that women shouldn't teach. When if Timothy had his mother and his grandmother to teach, and I can think about my own mother and how much she taught me about the Bible growing up. But that's what's called the Holy Scripture. In today's Bible, those scriptures, especially in Psalms and Proverbs, the writer expressed great desire to know God. There are verses in Proverbs and Psalms, time after time after good, time where the author say, I want to know your scriptures, I want to know you, I want to know your precepts, I want to understand you. And we know that by knowing Scripture. So this is the most remarkable piece of literature that's ever been assembled. And I say it that way because it was written over 3,000 to 4,000 years by who knows how many different authors. And I'll say scribes instead of authors, and I'll explain that in a minute. It has at least four different languages in the original text. But it all comes together, and it's all consistent from Genesis to Revelation. Amazing that no book can ever claim that. And I say that there were scribes and not authors because it says in here that all scripture is God-breathed. And we think that it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, that these men like Peter and Paul and Matthew and Mark were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write, but they wrote what the Holy Spirit told them to write, to understand it. Their understanding came from the Holy Spirit. So they weren't writing of their own, what their own thoughts and actions were, but they were scribes in my way of thinking of what the Holy Spirit was saying to them was true. Matthew and Mark only wrote what was revealed to them by God, either in the person of Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you, we talked about this in Sunday school this morning, that the New Testament is all written by people who had direct contact and knowledge of Jesus Christ. There was no passing down of what I've heard or what I've, but they all said, this is what I've seen, this is what I've witnessed. And the New Testament is a reliable witness of Jesus Christ and who he was and what he taught. So back to my earlier analogy, the contents of the Bible were written by our manufacturer. He's the one who made us. He knows who we are, how we think, how our minds and bodies work. And in the Bible, we have the manufacturer's instructions. So what does it do for us? Well, this is what, go back to the previous. Can you go back?
Yeah.
There we go. So what does it do for us? Our scripture lesson tells us this morning that it is profitable. All scripture is useful for teaching. Useful and profitable, the same thing, so it's useful for teaching. So how do we know what is true? Scripture will tell us what is true. Among the other things, that maybe the important thing that teaches us of truth, that God is love. It tells us that Jesus was born. Jesus lived a perfect life, died on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and will return one day to claim all those who believe. It teaches us how we should live by following the example of Jesus. And it's for people, this one says reproof. Some versions say it's useful for rebuking. Everyone makes mistakes. We can't help it. We sin. And how do we know? Because the Bible tells us. The Bible describes sin in all of its forms. It becomes the source of a Christian's conscience. But fortunately, it doesn't leave us there. It corrects, reproof, correction, I'm sorry, reproof and rebuke are the same, correction. It doesn't leave us there, it corrects. It tells us what we should do to fix our shortcomings. We're not left to know that we were just wrong, but it tells us what is right. And an example I came up with was when James and John asked Jesus if they could have the authority to sit at his right hand and his left hand when he came into their kingdom. And Jesus quietly rebuked them and said, that's not for me to decide. Got to back off. That's not a good question to ask. That's not for me to decide. But he didn't leave them there. But what he did was he gently corrected them by saying, if you want to be first in the kingdom of God, you first become a servant, because the servants will be the first in the kingdom of God. So he not only rebuked them for asking the question, but then gave back and corrected them and say, if you want to get it right, become a servant. It's useful for training in righteousness. If you desire to be more like Jesus, the Bible tells us, and it's like training. You have athletes who train all the time, and you don't ever see an athlete who comes up and says, well, okay, I've trained enough, I'll be able to compete now. But athletes train constantly in the midst of competition. They have a competition, they don't stop. They keep training. They train constantly. And so don't ever think you can stop training in righteousness, because it just doesn't happen. It comes to us all the time. So what is righteousness? Righteousness is what is true and what is good. So if you want to be trained in what is good and what is true, you'll train yourself to read the Bible. And it says, so that we can be equipped for every good work. So how do we even know what good works are if we don't study the Bible? After we identify good works, how do we go about them? Have you ever been called to do anything that you've felt you weren't competent to do? I can tell you right now, I'm standing in the pulpit. Perhaps it's because you weren't properly trained. That was Paul's story. After he was blinded on the road to Damascus, he didn't immediately go out and start forming churches everywhere. Instead, he went to the house of Ananias, and after that, he spent 3 years in the desert being equipped to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. So if you want to live in righteousness, you must first and completely train. You can't just run out and start doing good works. We need to study Scripture so that we'll know Scripture. It's not like you pick your favorite course and you think of your favorite course in high school and you come up and say, I can't believe I'm having to study this because I'll never use it. Maybe calculus or biology or chemistry, pick a subject. Well, the Bible's not like that. You will use it. What if you didn't have access to a Bible? And that's not a far-fetched idea. You think of Germany in the 1930s, or how about present-day China? I admire the Chinese Christians who have to hide their Bible. And if they don't know it, if they don't have one, they're missing, and they know they are missing. And when we face life situations, you may find yourself in a place where you don't have access to a Bible. You may be driving down the street, and you may run across a situation. How would Jesus do this? Well, you can't say, let me go look at the Scriptures. You can't pull off the side of the road and start looking. You need to know and impart in your brain what Jesus would do in that situation. It's throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament to be knowledgeable about Scriptures. In Deuteronomy 6, and we've heard this so many times that we need to hear it again. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols in your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. God was telling Moses to impart to his people that they needed to know Scripture. They need to study Scripture and they need to write it upon their heart so that they could call it upon. The psalmist writes, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For I wait all the day long. And a proverb says, wise people lay up knowledge. The wise lay up knowledge. And my vision's just funny. But the mouth of a fool runs near. So why is this all important for us to know? Well, I'll tell you why. One of the answers is found in Hosea. I'm going to hit the negative parts first. We'll get to the positive in a minute. But Hosea was a minor prophet. Not that he wasn't important, but they call them minor prophets because their prophecies were not as long as the major prophets, the ones we call the major prophets. But he was talking to a people of God, supposedly, who were being misled by false prophets and priests who practiced prostitution and worshiped idols. And no one in Israel had enough knowledge to stop them. Hosea relates that the Lord says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest to me. That's pretty a harsh condemnation for not understanding or knowing Scripture. Notice it says the people are destroyed by their lack of knowledge. It doesn't say God was going to destroy them, but they destroyed themselves. There was self-destruction because they did not know and could not challenge the priest and the people. So what does that go to us today? Well, I don't think you have to look much further in recent history if you remember the Jim Jones tragedy in Guyana. Or how about the Branch Davidians in Waco? If people had been knowledge of the Scriptures, would that have happened? Now, we're lucky here because we have a pastor who preaches from the Bible, but there are people who preach something other than the good news, the gospel. And what about what you run across in false sayings and false prophecies and false ideas in social media? So prevalent today, people put out all kinds of stuff as truth. How do you know it's true? How do you know it's false? I'm going to give you a ridiculous example. Back in 2012, I guess, when Barack Obama was first running for president, I had somebody copy me on an email that said, the Bible says that the Antichrist will be a Muslim in his mid-40s. I wrote him back and I said, exactly where, give me chapter and verse. And then I pointed out to him that Muslims didn't even exist till the year 700 after Christ was born. So I didn't exactly sure how the Bible would say that the Antichrist was going to be a Muslim. But that's the kind of garbage that gets out if we don't know Scripture. And I guarantee you that Robert, I'll speak for him, would love to have a congregation that's full of people who are knowledgeable of Scripture. I know the session would like to have people that are knowledgeable of Scripture. Hold us accountable for what God says and what God does, to keep us on track for what God wants us to do in this place. So that's the negative. Here's the positive. The psalmist says, and Kathy played this as the prelude this morning, your work is a light, your word is a light unto my feet and a light unto my path. We don't have to walk in darkness. Scripture can direct our daily lives. You say, well, how could this all may be well and good, but Scripture doesn't come out and answer all those great questions we have, like, should I take this job? Should I move to another town? Or if you're single, who should I take for a spouse? And I'm not going to go down this rabbit trail, but it also says, how should I vote? It doesn't come right out and tell you that. No, the answers aren't always black and white to Alex's everyday questions. But I tell you this, if you know Scripture, you can have wisdom. But you can't have wisdom without knowledge. You can have knowledge without wisdom. But you can't have wisdom without knowledge. So some people say reading the Bible is boring, but I must be reading a different Bible. Anything you could want in a Bible that turns up in a movie today on TV, on Netflix, it's in the Bible. Espionage, murder, war, sex, love, name it. All these movies that come out with all those different themes, they're all in the Bible. And I'm afraid if they ever made a movie that covered everything in the Bible and covered it truthfully, it would be for mature audiences only, believe me. How do we acquire knowledge? Well, the obvious answer is where you're sitting right now. And let me just tell you, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, because what I do is when I prepare one of these, I find myself stomping on my own feet more than I do stepping on anybody's toes. But the obvious answer is you're sitting here this morning and listening right now, or you're listening to Robert. And again, let's not ever take Robert's Bible-based teaching for granted. But you're going to miss out on a lot if the only time you open your Bible or hear from read Scriptures is for this hour of 11 to 12 on Sunday morning. This is a big book. It's a huge book. And there's only been one person who could ever understand and explain it all. And he will come back one day to claim us. I found it personally that the more I read and study, the more I realize I don't know. And I got to keep at it. So let me leave you with some ways that you can study the Bible and know Scripture, other than where you're sitting this morning. First of all, I would say find a version that's easy to read. I know it's kind of tough if you pick up the King James Version, all the these and thous get a little confusing after a while and you're not sure who's talking to who. But there are plenty of versions out there. If you want a simple English written version, Eugene Peterson's The Message is wonderful. Number two, make it a priority. Daily reading of the Bible can be life-changing. Number three, find a Bible study group like Sunday school next week. Jim just showed you some wonderful, wonderful classes that we'll be having. And I encourage you to get involved. And if you happen to miss a week, come back. There's no reason to drop out just because you might have missed a week. There are excellent teachers that are coming up. I'm not counting myself in that group. If you can't make it, just let us know. I mean, if for some reason you're shut in or you're ill or something, let us know, because we're going to try to do the best we can to offer those classes through Zoom. We did a pretty good job of that in the spring. Just let us know in advance. Many years ago, I know some people who have been here a lot of years like me, there was a man who, if I told you who it was, you'll remember who it was, who was always present at the 11 o'clock service. So I approached him one day and said, how come we don't see you in Sunday school? And his answer was this: I know more than what they're talking about. I wouldn't learn anything because I know more than they do, more than the teachers. And I'm going to tell you, if that's your excuse, if you go speak to Jim Hinton or to anybody on the Christian Education Ministry team, they'll be glad to sign you up to be a teacher because we need your knowledge. Join one of the other opportunities to come together to do Bible study. Linda Jenkins Women's Bible Study meets on Tuesday mornings, and I'm sure they probably got room for more. And guess what, men? We're not off the hook. I've been wanting to do this for a long time, but now I'm committed. And starting in October, we're going to, at a time and a place that we'll determine which is most convenient for the most people, and it may be more than one time in one place, we're going to start a men's Bible study. I can tell you I've been doing one with some of our fellow believers over at Sharon Press for about 3.5-4 years now, and it is a wonderful. I jump out of bed on Tuesday mornings just for the fellowship, and we just gather around the Word and studying and reading the Word. Number five, find a good study guide. If you can't understand it, there are plenty of people who have written good, solid Bible teaching, and Robert will be happy to recommend one of those. There's plenty of information in the library. If you're like me, who likes to read things, and not necessarily on your phone, but like to hold a piece of book in your hand, there are plenty of ways that you can find a study guide, and Robert will be glad, or anybody, and I'm sure Christy can probably recommend some great study guides to read and understand the Bible, and Eric. But here's another good reason to get involved with the group. It's called fellowship. Jesus promised that where two or more gather in his name, he will be there also. We learn from each other. We learn application, as we studied this morning in Sunday school. Depending on what life circumstances are, we apply scripture differently to our life. The truth doesn't change, but we apply it differently to our lives. And hear other people talking about how life how scripture has inspired them or has instructed them as instruction for ourselves. We depend on each other to learn. Sharing opens up new eyes and new understanding. Another good reason for getting involved in a study group is it builds relationships. As we learn from each other, we learn about each other. As I said, I've stomped on my own toes this morning. I'd definitely be the one that needs to be more into Bible study, more into daily Bible reading. But I'm taking this to heart. I hope, I'm praying that it will sink deep into my heart what I've said this morning. And the Bible's an ancient book, but it stands the test of time. How does it compare to modern day literature that you find enjoyable? It should, because the words that are ancient are also eternal. What was true then is true today. If you want to classify the Bible as a book, if you want to put one word label on it, I'd put this label on it. It's a love story. It's the world's oldest love story. It's a story of God who loves us and pursues us every minute of every day. It's an eternal love story, one that's true for eternity. Don't you want to know how much God loves you? May God bless his reading and hearing of this word.